for joining us. Please connect with us on social media at Eco Justice Radio, SoCal350, and my website, Wilder Utopia. If you like what you've heard and you want others to be informed, subscribe and share the episodes. Been listening to Eco Justice Radio, a project of SoCal 350, executive producer myself, Jack Eit, co-host Jessica Aldridge, co-host Carrie Kim, and engineer and original music by Blake Quake Beats. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.
Everybody, it's Greg McVicker, creator of Undercurrents. Glad you're listening. This is KBOO 90.7, Portland.
Tune in at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM.
Hi, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and this is Life Stamps, stories from here and there. I'm Joseph.
I am Tyson.
Join us every other Thursday at 10 a.m. as we discuss exciting destinations around the world. They're not always from personal experience, but never without cultural awareness and a passion for travel.
Okay, welcome to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. This is Life Stamps, stories from here and there. Today we have a special guest, Consuelo. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Consuelo.
Nice to be here with you guys. Yeah, I'm ready to talk about my passion, traveling.
So Consuelo has a company called, is it pronounced Angletin?
Yes.
And it is a travel company bridging Latin and Anglo cultures in the Americas.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the idea or the, our philosophy, because I was married to somebody who was an Anglo-Saxon and myself as a Chilean. And we wanted to bring both culture together the way we were to some point. And we created this, I found this company. My husband was a professor at OSU, and his specialty was natural resources. So the company main goal was to invite professionals, forester, farmer, agriculture people, viticulture, to different places in the world to learn how their counterpart were learning other new processes, marketing, production, management, etc. So we opened Chile first, then Argentina, then Peru, then Brazil, and Europe. No Asia, because I don't speak, we didn't speak any language and didn't go at that point with our philosophy.
So as in like sustainable travel then, do you work with local farmers in said locations?
We work, that is the main idea, to get to together with professionals who are doing exactly what our clients are doing in different places in the world. I didn't I didn't not only have American traveler, I have people from Europe going to Chile, Peru, and coming here. And mainly is to make an interchange between two culture within a similar subject. So this way we learn from one each other. And some people also did some businesses in those countries.
Cool.
So I guess my question on that regard then, what would be your best advice for like the Anglo-Saxon, the Western European traveler to best embrace the local culture of like Latin America?
Oh, this is a big question. Yeah, I think in this particular company, it's easier because you go and you meet people who relate to you in the same subject. So that bring you together right away because they're talking about packing and they have the similar vocabulary, similar experience, or production, or management. And we also integrate to our itinerary not only the technical aspect because many of our travelers traveling with their wife or son because the son are also involved in the business. And so we put a lot of cultural activity, like a market, farmer market, like music, like a conversation with organization that help people with different disability or with a financial problem. For example, in Chile, we went to a foundation that take care of children without parents. Mm. So this way you get to know, and all our guide are local. So this way you integrate the local culture in Latin America, what is it varies from one country to another. It's not the same, the Chilean culture to the Peruvian culture or to the Colombian culture or Brazil. Mm-hmm. And that is what is very interesting because you get to know a different perspective of life and culture and business.
So and family's different, I guess, a little bit between the countries to some extent in terms of like how families probably handled by the roles and like how people integrate and see and work
in
with
relation
these
to the in relation to the Anglo-Saxon, you mean?
Well, yeah, of course there's a difference between the American family.
Oh, in relation to themselves.
Family,
in relation to themselves.
Yeah, I think in relation to, like, other countries, like, yeah, the countries, like, the,
in Latin America.
Yeah, Latin America.
I don't think so, that they're so much different. Indeed, I was talking about that the other day with somebody from Mexico, and we were talking about the thing that we share in our culture, and family is still the most important aspect. But younger generation are becoming more Americanized in that sense.
Pop culture influence too?
Yes, in a negative way, in my opinion.
I see. So with your itineraries, I guess is what you're going to call them, or are you going to...
Itinerary,
or packages,
obviously.
Or whatever?
No, there are no packages. There are itinerary. It takes for us to put a tour of this this quality, it takes 6 to 9 months. Because it's not that you go to one packing company. You have to... The first approach is to see what is the country and the region within that country that is similar to our client. So this way they share also common weather, even the weather has changed all over the world, and climate and earth and soil and this and that. And so it does take a lot of knowledge, and this is what my husband was expert, and this way you build together the itinerary.
So if I, for a new traveler, someone who's interested in doing one of these itineraries, can you walk me through, like, from the beginning to the, you know, from, like, when they're interested to when they start the trip? What does that timeline look like?
9 months.
That's 9 months?
Yeah, it depends, because if usually we work with institution, foundation, a university, farm bureau, this kind of organization. So they have a leader, and the leader contact us, and we start the conversation. And they decide, for example, we want to go to Chile. Okay, Chile is a long own country, as you know. And so what place in Chile? What do you really want to see? It's a tailor-made itinerary. So it's nothing fixed.
This is not a group.
Yes, this is a group.
It's a group trip.
Yes, okay. not always. For example, one time we took one of the most important person in Washington, the state of Washington, in relationship to Sherry, and he wanted to travel by his wife, with his wife alone, nobody else. So I asked him, when we were traveling together, friend and I and them, I asked, why did you want to come to Chile? You are one of the biggest producer of cherry in Washington state. And he said, yeah, I wanted to see my competitor. And I wanted to see with you alone, nobody else. And it was a great trip. We had a blessing. And in that case, didn't take 9 months because they were the couple and we have already several ideas and experience visiting cherry grower in Chile. So when it's a group, we have the, it's better that we contact or the leader of the organization, the university or foundation or company, contact us, we start organizing. And that take more or less between 6 and 9 months. We don't take somebody or a group from one day to another. It's impossible. Okay, right now I have one tour to Chile and Argentina that is open to general public. It's technical, but not that much technical. So if you want, I have other couple from Montana who called me from Montana. I was in Chile at the time. We want a farm tour. Can you organize? We are two people. And they went all over Chile, so it was more than farming.
So run me back now, because you guys are essentially at angletine.com. You're doing this, like, travel consultation with the client that could take 6 to 9 months to really, you know, fine-tune it and, you know,
especially if it's a group. You have to consider that when it's a group, because you have to please all the members of the group. So that is the reason also, because it takes a long time. And also, you have to consider that when you are in winter, we are here in winter, we are in summer. So most of the time, the people start contact us for going the next year, the next season. So, for example, now is the right moment to go in November.
So most of your clientele are business people, you're saying?
Most of my clientele at the beginning, the first 25 years, was were farmer, forester. We took many group of foresters from Washington, from Oregon, from all over to different places in the world. And now we are open because people are traveling more than when I started in 1994. And so if you want to go and see culture, and also if you are a farmer and you want to see farming, we can organize it for you. And you don't go with a group. You go with your family or with your wife, or you go alone, whatever.
But so anyone now, like, you open up to the general public. Anyone who's interested in going.
I have been opening because culture is much more spread now. When I started in 1994, people were more shy, maybe, or because of the language different. But now these barriers are kind of going away, and people are more, they want the experience, not only to see, oh, yeah, I went to Argentina and I saw a tango show.
Right.
They want a deeper experience.
And to be with their counterpart and with local and, and eat the local food, drink the local wine, you see?
So that brings me to a question. Does your company offer homestays then?
No.
You're not doing homestays?
No, I am not. I am not in that business. So that is a completely different business.
Does it work then where they pay you a lump sum and then it's an all-inclusive trip?
It's an all-inclusive.
So everything is, you know, all the meals and accommodation and everything.
I will tell you. When you pay, for example, the wine tour is, I think it's $3,599, and include, no, they are ticket, obviously, but hotel, breakfast, dinner or lunch, cultural event, visit to the winery, tastes in the winery, transportation, everything. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to.
And what's the length of time?
That tour is 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that kind of the average, or is
that is kind of the average. I have had a few in the past that they were 12, 13 days, okay. But that is unusual.
How involved are you? Like, do you go on these tours very
I
often?
Used to, bueno, now I used to go, especially in Santiago, and mm-hmm. some places that I wanted to go. My role in the company has been, from the beginning, being in charge of the land arrangements. So mm-hmm. that's mean hotel, transportation, food, cultural event, everything that has, I like to plan. Mm-hmm. I love, that is my part. And mm-hmm. and Fred was the tour leader.
Okay.
And also we hire expert people in each country to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time, from city to city, who are the expert.
How did you build your contacts?
Oh, through Fred. That okay. was mainly through Fred. I mean, because when you are well known in your career, it's not difficult. And then reputation.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You just start building the client base,
yes,
and then
yes.
other potential yeah. companies.
And now I am trying to, because of the COVID, and because my own health situation and Fred dead, now I am restarted all over again. So I approach first our client from the past, telling I am still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are opening new destination. For example, we add Colombia, what I didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
And more also within the state and in Europe, new destination, like we went to Slovakia before, but now more Slovakia and kind of Hungary and Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, Eastern Europe, Eastern
yes.
Balkan countries and
yes.
stuff. You
beautiful
know.
Countries.
Aside from Chile, what destinations really excite you? Like, is there any destination right now that you really like get excited about planning for?
Planning or going? Two different things.
Maybe planning and going, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Planning any destination. I love, my passion, like I said from the beginning, is to travel.
Mm-hmm.
My destination in my heart, who I consider myself an expert, is France.
Mm.
I have been there 12 times. Mm-hmm. I hope to be there longer, sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak French. I went to a French school, so I know the culture. I read French. And I think when I arrive in France, I get all emotional.
Mm.
When I arrive in France and I get out of the airport and I look around, I feel home. I am home.
Mm. So if you were planning a trip to France, and let's say someone said, "Oh, I want to go to France," but maybe they don't have a particular itinerary. If you were to plan the itinerary for them, what would you? What would that look like?
Yes, to start, I will say Paris at least 6 days, mm-hmm. 6 nights, 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite, well, every place is almost my favorite, even I haven't been in all France yet.
Mm-hmm.
I love very much to go to L'Alsace, like I said before. I think that combination between the German and the French is exactly and Latin,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful, and it has those winery, and if you are into winery and to German food, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I closer to Paris, Normandy. I think Normandy with the cow and the art, Eugène Bodin, the painter who painted the beaches of Proust, that Proust described in his wonderful book. And also you go and visit Mont Saint-Michel, that is splendid. I mean, it's something extraordinary in my opinion. And then you can go to La Bretagne. I love the ocean. Many people, oh, I go to the south because of Provence. Yes, Provence is beautiful. But what is beautiful about Provence, in my humble opinion, mm-hmm. is not the big city of Provence. It's the little village of Provence.
Mm-hmm.
There is a book called The Most Beautiful Village in France. And there you go to Vaucluse, this and that, Bonnieu, and Carcassonne. And you can see how beautiful are conserved. I keep telling general public, France is more than Paris. Even I am crazy about Paris.
Right.
And it always seems like when I see like French Riviera and like these videos and stuff, it's like time doesn't move. It just sits there and just waits for you.
Yeah. I cannot say much about the French Riviera because I am not a fan of the French Riviera for that reason. And because I was born in a country with oceans, so I prefer La Bretagne. I think it's much more natural that the French Riviera, obviously Nice, I have been in Nice, has all the influence of the Italian. Nice was Italian in one moment. And so, yeah, any place is beautiful if you are feeling good. And if you are open to see what is there for you and experience different food, different wine, different places, if you are open to see what the place will bring to you.
I thought it was interesting what you were saying about the going to the border of France and Germany and how you're saying it's a little bit mix of both. And you said that's sort of like also the goes back to the idea of your company that's Anglatine, you know, the mix of Latin and Anglo-Saxon culture. Is that something that sort that you think about when you're planning a trip, like the sort of combination of these two cultures coming together?
When it's there, I didn't, it's not something that I do conscious. I like, my father spoke German, and I think my personality is very Latin, but in terms of discipline and this, I am very German, without being German.
Right.
And because my father was very, wasn't German, and I admire the punctuality, the organization. Yeah, those kind of things are important to me. But I am not thinking about, I don't think it's conscious. But in that case, when I went the first time, I said, oh, this is Anglatine, of course.
Works, yeah.
And I was so happy. Yeah.
Can I roll back to your company, though? So I'm hearing that you're providing wine tours, you're providing farm tours. What other type of travel packages?
Oh, right now I am organizing a tour called the Museum Tour because I think it's going to see right there, for example, let's we start not with the Louvre, not now that it's closed, with d'Orsay, and then we go to El Prado. I think Museo Prado is marvelous. And then we go to Toledo, and then we can go, we go to the Netherlands to see the Rasmussen and to see, Rembrandt and so many, and it's beautiful.
Guggenheim and Bilbao, perhaps.
Yes. I am very open. I try not to have a fixed itinerary because I like to help people what you really want to see. And people said, one of my bosses, she's going to France. And I am more excited that she's going to France than herself. And so I keep telling her, you have to see this, you have to see that.
So every client is personal.
Yeah, Taylor.
You've never duplicated like an itinerary
I try not
ever.
To. No, it's because everybody, every group is different. Even if they go to the same place or to the same country and to the same itinerary in some way, but things change and some people have different interests, and that is the idea, to fulfill their interest and their curiosity.
How does a group travel happen? Like, is it something where it's like one person here is like, oh, I want to go to Argentina, and another person is like over here is like, I want to go to Argentina, and so then do you just group them together in that sense where it's like I'm this, because you're working with people to personalize these itineraries, right?
Yes.
But then at the same time, there might be like a group that's going together. So do you?
Yeah. Well, going back to where we were is somebody, the leader of the group, contact me. The group goes.
So it's
follow the itinerary.
It's a group that they've organized.
Yes.
Okay. So you're not organizing the group.
I know. Okay. That is the reason, because it's more efficient, because I have to talk with one person or the committee and not the whole 20 people or 15 people.
If there's like five people over here that are like, I want to do that too, you don't just like add them on
to
the group?
No, I do. If they want to do something else, I suggest I can organize for you a pre or post tour. And that happened very often. When you go south, I mean Brazil, Peru, Chile, Argentina, most of the time the people want to see both country or three countries. So I suggest, okay, I can arrange for you this and you go with your husband to those places.
Okay.
One time we did, for a Californian group, we did Chile, Argentina, Uruguay.
Uruguay. Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was very interesting. Very interesting. They were a farmer from California.
Okay. And so did they want to see farms?
Yes. Yes. Of course. There was a technical tour. And so I think if you are in a honeymoon, for example, and you, like the other day, I met somebody who said, since I was a child, I have been dreaming about going to Chile and Argentina. And Argentina, I said, oh, how wonderful to listen something like this. And I said, okay, I can give you a tentative itinerary and we can start from there.
Okay, I see. That's so
very flexible.
Yeah. I love how flexible it is.
I mean, I like the fact that you really do it in a consultant kind of way where you just really bring out the specialized tour for the individual client and they get to just kind of, you know, shape it like it's their own little travel recipe, if you will, that's personal to them.
Yeah, it's almost like you go to a doctor. When you go to the doctor only look at one place in your body. He asks you, how are you sleeping? What kind of food are you eating? Are you exercising? Well, no, this is the same in a different area. More fun, I guess. That have you been there before? What are your expectations? Do you have any problem about food? What do you like to eat? What kind of transportation will you like? Train, plane, bus, how do you want to travel? Especially when there are two people or a family, it's easy to do, to be more flexible. When it's the group, you have to maintain certain discipline to have the time that you organize to have all the event, because are people who are open their company to you. It's not...
So and I also know that you have another company that's involved with disabled travelers and stuff. So
that is my company of my heart, too. I created that company in 2014 because I realized that I had my brother with MS and then other people in my family with Parkinson, my father included, and my husband. And I thought, the world is going that way. Not that everybody will be sick, no, that we are going to age and we will want to keep traveling. Why not? I mean, so I spoke with Fred, and also I was starting to see his decline, and I thought I was very happy with Anglatin, all the result, all the trip that I organized and we organized together. So I thought, oh, this will be kind of a little grandson to me. And very, very happy. And yes, specialized in not all kind of disability, because I don't work with cognitive disability, only physical disability. And I believe strongly that everybody has the right to travel.
So when it comes to planning these trips, how is, like, what are the challenges that you are typically planning for?
In this case, the big, at least in Chile, the big, I will say, frustration and challenge, as you said it, it's a good word, adjective, is transportation. Because not all the company have... van that is made for taking people in wheelchair. It's true that I can say that from 2014 to now,
it's particular
Chile has been developed tremendously and the world has been developed tremendously. I traveled with Fred in 2002 to here from Chile and I didn't have any problem. And it's not easy because Santiago, Atlanta, Atlanta, Portland, with somebody who was more than 80 years old and in a wheelchair. And the airline was fantastic. I I felt very comfortable, and then I ran a place who was accessible, an apartment here in Portland, and I didn't have any problem. We got also a wheelchair because I didn't want to travel with our wheelchair. And
do you think that experience in the U.S., because I know the U.S. is very, since we have the ADA policy,
yes,
you know,
yes,
we
more take advanced.
That for, yeah, more seriously, where everything is designed to accommodate people with disabilities. Do you think that that inspired you to, you know, to create, you know, these itineraries that help, you know, people with disabilities?
No, what inspired me was to see my brother, that we went to a movie and we didn't have a place or where to put the wheelchair. That was before 2014.
Right, out of necessity, you start realizing
Chile, I was living in Chile full time. I left the state. I lived here for 20 or 25 years. Then we went back to Chile. We stayed there and we were coming here visiting. And that inspired me. And also the certain that if I wanted to come back, what was kind of a dream, very far away from my mind, but look where I am. And I thought, great, I can open Portland or the state because it's very well advanced, like Europe.
I see.
Yeah. So that is the reason, because that company specializes only in the Americas.
Oh, okay.
We don't do accessible travel to Europe, because Europe has so many companies doing Europe that I don't need to be competing with them. But how I am here, and really I want to promote how accessibility has been growing in our continent.
Do you do you ever meet with like the disabled client and they're like actually kind of blown away by all the options that they did not know were available to them because of their limitations?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. Yes, I had a family. She was a lawyer from Massachusetts, Boston, and she was completely disabled. Only her mind, her brain was working. And she said, I want to go. So I didn't meet physically, but we spoke many times over the phone before and after. So she went with her husband, her son, herself, and her nurse, or the person who took care of her, and to spend Christmas at Galapagos, Ecuador. Very nice. And we were talking, and she, every time, are you sure that I will be able to do this and that? Yes, you will. Are you? So when she came back, she called me to say thank you and how wonderful it was. And that is my compensation.
Yeah, I mean, those kind of testimonials have got to be very, you
and
know,
heart-wrenching. And then I have a couple from Chile who wanted to go to Machu Picchu. And she is, I met them, literally met, because we were in Chile, we had a drink together. And she's an extraordinary woman, and he is too. And when he said, we want to go to Cusco, and I said, but how, the wheelchair and this and that? And he said, Alvaro is his name, Alvarito. And Alvarito said, Consuelo, don't worry. When we were in Guatemala, I took her on my arms.
Oh, that's sweet.
Where are you? I need to meet you. I want to meet you. So we met, and both are extraordinary, extraordinary people.
Do they help you now with your tours?
Yes, they promote. Yes, then they went to Costa Rica with us too.
Yeah,
I see. So just gonna pause right here. If you're just tuning in, this is KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and you are listening to Life Stamp Stories from Here and There. Today, Tyson and I have a guest, Consuelo, and she is has two companies, travel companies. One's called Anglatin. That's about bridging the cultural gap between Anglo-Saxon and Latin cultures, doing lots of tours around Central and South America and Europe. And then I didn't catch the name of your other company.
Accessible Travel for All.
Accessible
Travel Americas for All.
Okay, Accessible Travel Americas for All. Yeah, that one is for helping people with disabilities travel in the Americas, and just allowing people to, you know, to travel if that's their dream.
To have fun. They deserve to. Mm-hmm. I I can. Do you have another question, or I can? I have some tips.
Some tips, and I think at least myself, Joseph too, maybe to some extent. You know, I'm kind of very into the cultural aspects of destinations when
I travel
and stuff. So maybe we could talk a little bit about like museum or film or something.
Yes,
how that's tied into certain locations that you guys provide.
Yeah, usually, for example, let's talk about Chile because I am the local guy too. And one time, Fred kind of didn't like it very much because I said, I'm going to talk about politics. I don't think you should. I will talk about politics, about politics in Chile, mm-hmm. not politics of the world, because
right.
I am not a politician. I didn't study political.
Right.
Yeah. So I spoke about how education was working in Chile, how health issue was working in Chile. I was talking about divorce. I was talking about abortion. I was talking about freedom, because that group went after the dictatorship that we have with Pinochet. So American people wanted to know how we were reestablished mm-hmm. democracy.
Oh, okay.
So that was very important. Also, we have the Museum of the Memoir that we call that was created, this design to see all the horror that we lived during those 17 years. So we go there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the other museum is the Precolombino that show all the culture and all the beginning of the creativity of all the stuff.
That's pre-Columbian.
Pre-Columbian, mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm. pre-Columbian. Mm-hmm. Pre-Columbian, and very interesting. Mm-hmm. And always I suggest that it's free if they want to, the Museum of Art, obviously. Mm-hmm. Also, we took them to a show that is done by people from Easter Island, mm-hmm. Rapa Nui. Those are kind of vignette of what we do. And in France or other places, we always incorporate what we think that is typical of the country that you need to see it.
Explain a little more to me about Rapa Nui.
Oh, bueno, Rapa Nui is the Easter Island that is 6 hours by airplane from Santiago, expensive, very, very populated now. And they have, of course, this was a surprise to me, because some people, when we took them to the show, they said, we didn't know that the Easter Island was Polynesic, belonged to a Polynesic, how we pronounce?
Polynesian.
Polynesian, uh-huh. thank you, uh-huh. correct. yeah. Polynesian, I love to have the accent, by the way. Sometimes I think I do it on purpose. And a Polynesian culture. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that they belong to the same group. That was fascinating to them.
The furthest eastern Polynesian culture, if I understand it right.
So you mean that the Polynesian culture is whoever were settling those islands, they came from Polynesia to
yes.
Easter Island.
Yes,
okay,
so we are kind of...
They were called the Maori, correct?
Maori,
yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah, the Maori. And yes. they were like the furthest east in the Pacific.
Oh, very okay. good.
So you mean the same people that were in New Zealand, right?
More or less, I don't know about that. Do you know?
Possibly,
Maori,
yeah.
Right? Or Australia, maybe?
Somewhat like this. Yeah. I'm... the anthropologist in me does not actually know this, mm-hmm. but I kind of am familiar with it. So
you should go. You should go if you're familiar. I am surprised when people know here in Portland that I am from Chile. The first, my dream has been always going to Easter Island, and I want to go. I said, go. Mm-hmm. It's expensive, but if you have that in your heart, you have to go.
And they've used it for some films, right?
Yes.
I
am not aware. Chilean film, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I am not aware.
Or maybe another Latin director.
Yeah. And so that is something that is interesting. And I think the culture is the bread or the soul of a country.
Mm-hmm.
If you disregard, how can you disregard? It's impossible. It's right there every single day, mm-hmm. the way how they interact with you,
mm-hmm.
how if they are shy or less manner for this and that. No, I think. Okay, I have some tips, or you prefer to talk about film? It's a few tips.
I have
a blog in my website, and the first thing is to the trip start before, during, and after. O sea, before, when you start thinking and feeling, oh, I would like to go to France. Second, when you start doing research, if it's your first time, and even if not your first time, you should do research because you are going to other places. And then when you are there, and then when you are coming back to see the picture, to see the video, and to reminisce with your friend is fundamental to me. And this is a way to take a journal, very important. I still have my journal from the first trip to Europe. I was 18 years old.
Written or video journal?
Yeah, with my...
Written or video journal?
Whatever you want. That is, that's up to you. I write.
Yeah.
And so I have my journal. And this is first. Second, before you travel with friend, get to know very well your friend. Okay, because even with family, you have problems.
That is definitely a truth.
Only travel with people that you know
well. Yes, because it's different when you travel with, in a case we were talking before, with a group that you share, because that group already, they know each other. They belong to the same organization.
Right.
And they do things together. They train it together. But in this case, I had a person who went for a month to Asia. She's Asia, from Asia. And she complained about her friend when she came back, but finally they agree. And I said, you have to start for that. And then
I've heard this story many times. People traveling together and you can't decide, you know, do we go this or go here? And you have to be okay with, like, sometimes we do your, you know, what you want to do. Sometimes we do what I want to do. And, you know, just be okay with how the trip will go without it being like one person is taking over the entire trip.
I'm so not good with this. I'm usually the kind of person who's like, why don't you just do your thing today and I'll do my thing.
Yeah.
And
we'll meet back up. I mean, but that's also a style of travel as well.
Because we both want to do this other thing in the evening or something.
But yeah. You don't always have to stick together.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's just
no, even with the husband. The first trip I did with Fred to France, to Europe, indeed, I told him I want to enjoy Paris by myself. I have been waiting for this moment for so many years, so I don't want to share with anybody. And he said, okay. And he followed me without me knowing. And suddenly he was right there in the museum where he was. And another thing, I encourage people to travel solo.
100%.
Yes.
This is something that I'm going to do for the third time. And it's very nice because at the end, your best friend is yourself. Okay, about tips. These are tips that I'm giving you. But another tip, there are so many ways. When I encourage younger people where I work, the first thing I said is, have you been traveling abroad? Oh, yeah, nah. But why? You are not doing it. You should go. And there are so many ways you can do it. Now you can do it over the cargo cruise. You can go to the monastery. There are monastery. I have a list here of Italy because I'm going to go to the monastery this time. In Italy, France, Spain, probably. I haven't done research for the other, but there are many books that you can look for that information. Also, there is a company you can babysit a house or a pet.
Pet sitting.com,
pet sitters.com. And house sitters,
House sitter, that is another alternative. So, you see, there is a potential if you're younger. I wish I was, but I am not anymore at heart, you can offer some work, volunteer work. There are several organization foundation that they will give you room and board if you work as a volunteer.
Language immersion is included with some of these as well, from the way I understand these homestays and stuff like this.
Yeah, and then we go to another subject related, that is that you can go and try to learn a language or reinforce the language that you already learn at the school. And there are several possibilities where you can do that all over the world, most. Mm-hmm. And this is more or less what I have in terms of tips. Don't, please, I am pro cash, no credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's expensive. The every time they convert to your
there's a fee.
Yes,
and
a fee. And it's true that some places, even in Europe, that they don't like you to pay with cash.
Right.
Especially any markets where you're doing haggling. I would say.
Yes.
Yes. And some places are still very cash focused. Cash forward.
I am pro cash. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and this is it. More or less what I think is there are other things, probably travel light, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Know more or less where you are going to arrive, to have everything. The hostel. Mm-hmm. 1 year I wanted to go to Europe so badly. So I told Fred, I am willing to go to a hostel.
How old were you?
I was 45, I don't remember. I was,
Was that your first time to go to a hostel?
No. My parents, they didn't take me to a hostel.
Uh-huh.
And so it was because I was convincing him to go one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't very happy about it. And I said, I will be flexible. We arrived to the hostel in Germany.
Uh-huh. Did you get like your own room, or did you stay in the shared room?
No, they didn't have. So they said the only thing we have for you is a shared room with 8 people.
Uh-huh.
And I started
like 20-year-olds, right?
Yeah. And I said, I look at Fred. No, I am not flexible as I used to. That flexible.
You had to see how it felt.
You said, I'm non-conventional, but I'm not that non-conventional.
We were in Frankfurt. I am not that flexible. I am sorry. I need a hotel. Can be two-star hotel. I don't care, but a hotel, a room of my own. But if you are young and you are accustomed, you have to be very, very alert, because it can be dangerous sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever rented a short-term apartment?
Yeah, all the time now.
Okay, yeah, I've never done that before, but I know.
All the time
Europe
now.
Is,
I can give you a sabbatical home. Mm-hmm. I work with sabbatical home. I have been the last 10 years, mm-hmm. more or less, here in Portland, in Paris, every place I go, I do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. This time, I don't know, because I really want to have experience with the monastery, because I have been thinking maybe I can write a book about the places where I will go.
Mm.
Right. Yeah.
So you want to do the monastery so you can focus on writing. To do research. I see.
To do research, to live the experience. And I have been dedicated to this industry many years of my life. And I have been had, as you can listen, many different kind of experience, most all positive. I have 2 cases of my client who died in Chile during traveling with us. So I used that. One time I was giving a presentation at U of O, and I said, you can trust us, because I took care of everything of 2 of my clients who died during my trip. And the people was kind of, one of them, we were landing in Santiago. I was at the airport waiting for them, Fred and I, and the local guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Sunday. We always try the people to come on Sunday because it's easy day.
Yeah.
And the same, I arrived in Paris on Sunday. And so they were not coming out. The plane was already there, so I start. What is going on?
And you're
here?
Waiting there with a sign for their last name or something?
Yeah. No. It said, I'm glad it was a group for California, sure. I told you the three countries.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they said she has a problem and this and that and that. Bueno, I followed.
So she had a problem on the flight coming over.
When she was the flight, when the plane was landing, she has the attack. Brain.
Oh, wow.
And so I follow the ambulance in my car, and I could see when her heart stopped because the guy was doing like in the movie.
The recitation.
Right. Yes. And I came and she was dead.
Oh my goodness.
And I have to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything to help her husband.
Right.
The husband, can you imagine?
Was
not only
her,
the husband, the friend, because it was a cohesive, very cohesive group.
So her husband was there too?
Yes.
In the group. Okay.
So he was in shock, and the friend, to the point that when the husband came back to the stay with the friend, some of the friend came back with him.
Mm.
Those good friends.
So the
as you
group
can
split
see.
Up.
Claro.
Oh,
and
okay.
That diminished a lot the morale, but I tried to pick it up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, that's a really rough situation.
Very rough situation, because
your whole thing is you want to provide positivity, a joyful experience, and then this tragedy happens. And
so that is the reason because I am ready to write a book, I think, because
yeah,
I have seen it.
So many
I have seen it all.
Experiences,
I have seen it
sure.
all, because first to be dealing with Chilean, with the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, they are not going to pay anything to bring her back to the stay.
Mm-hmm.
And how they were traveling.
Honestly.
Business class, the airline said, okay, we are not going. Because I'm going to, I will sue you. Why you didn't tell me right away? Oh, it's because we don't have control when the plane lands, something that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
The plane is the airport who has the control, not the airline.
Interesting.
I see. Oh, so it's the airline, it's the airport's jurisdiction after
claro,
that.
Exactly.
I see.
You said it completely. Jurisdiction.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's
I don't
a
want
facet.
To leave.
But you have so many stories.
Yes.
I understand why you want to write a book about it. Yes. Yeah, because you have so
yeah,
many, so many
I mean,
stories.
I mean, honestly, like, and we were saying that we were going to talk about films. This is
oh,
a
here.
Film.
Yeah.
Here I have the film.
This could be a film.
I just going to stop you right there for
okay.
one more station ID. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. This is Life Stamp Stories from Here and There. I'm Joseph. I'm here with my co-host Tyson. And our guest today is Consuelo, who has a travel company called Anglatine that is about bridging Anglo-Saxon and Latin cultures with tailor-made tours through Latin America and also in Europe. And there, she also has a disabilities focused company called, what was the company
Accessible Travel Americas for All.
Accessible Travel Americas for All. It's about helping people with disabilities travel with ease. Tyson, we are at 40, almost 50 minutes. Do you think
okay.
we have time for the listener questions? Or I feel like we can keep.
I feel
like the conversation is pretty good right now. So.
The conversation's been pretty good. Yeah. I guess I would ask you, Consuelo, would you like to take a listener question or two?
No,
or?
Whatever you decide. It's your show, guys. It's not my show.
Yeah,
I would
true,
love
but,
to talk
but,
about
but,
the movies. But, right.
I want to hear about the movies. Actually.
I am a film lover.
If that's okay with you, Tyson.
Let's dive into some films.
We will start with Europe.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have about 5 minutes.
Yeah, Amelie. So if you go to Paris.
Oh, yes.
Amelie,
definitely.
Yes.
Amarcord or Rome if you go to Italy or Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the film by Bergman. There are so many. So this way you travel to Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Spain, you have to look for Almodóvar. That will be essential to see Spain on the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And now about Latin America. Bueno, there is... just a release film that I ordered, I haven't seen it, called I Am Here, that is about, it's in Brazil, it's a true story of a lawyer who her husband disappeared during the dictatorship of the Brazilian military.
Mm-hmm.
And there is another called City of God that is about the favela, the houses, if we can call houses,
mm-hmm.
that there are in the top of the mountain for people who live in poverty.
That it's one takes place in Sao Paulo?
Yeah, I think it's Rio.
In Rio.
Rio,
that one does.
I've heard of that movie, actually, City
yeah.
of God.
Yeah.
That is 2002, from 2002.
Mm-hmm.
2002.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is another that I like and I suffer terrible called Amores Perros, the Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with that one.
Yes, that is a little bit. If you love dog, you suffer. But it's a good, very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
That is from the 2000.
Okay.
And then there is another Mexican, obviously. They have a big success during the 20s and later in terms of film, the industry Mexican film called Y Tu Mamá También.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying Spanish, and your mother too. That
mm-hmm.
will be in English.
Mm-hmm.
Amores Perro will be dog love. I don't know.
Love and dogs, yeah.
Yeah, I love dogs. And El Secreto de Sus Ojos, this is a beautiful Argentinian movie. Ah, El Secreto de Sus Ojos.
This one's kind of like a rom-com, or?
Qué lindo. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I'm speaking Spanish. I'm sorry. The motion goes directly to the native language. Did you know that? Mm. And the Argentine film is set in Buenos Aires and explores the theme of memory, justice, and won the Academy Award for the Best Foreign Film. Mm. Bueno, and we have Gloria that also won the Academy Chile, that is show a little bit of Santiago, and there are several others that you can first perhaps see the movie, watch the movie, and then buy the ticket.
Yeah.
Or at the same time.
A few episodes back, we were talking about barrios in Buenos Aires. And
yes.
We were talking about the Palermo neighborhood and
yes.
how that's like a little mini Hollywood within Buenos Aires for shooting films and stuff like this and stuff. So
yeah.
I think it's pretty interesting that, you know, Latin films are getting more world-renowned and stuff.
Definitely. I am very interested, very happy to see how the film industry or the movie industry has been developing tremendously during the last part of the 20th century in South America, especially the Chilean, because the Argentinian was always more advanced, and Mexican, obviously. But now we have more variety, and even some countries in Central America are also making their own movies.
Have you seen Motorcycle Diaries?
Oh, yeah, I have seen, and I have been, that is one I should have mentioned. And I was pro Che Guevara when I was younger, obviously.
I
love him.
Which brother did you like?
I don't know. I forgot the names. I
don't remember either. One's taller with curly hair, and I think one's shorter with a little more of like a buzz cut.
I don't know. I think I should see it, the movie again. And I saw it the other day because where I work is there. And I thought, oh, I should see this again. I don't know if I keep loving Che Guevara, but I admire him a lot.
Yeah, the journey's really good in that one.
Yeah.
Know, because it really does kind of cover the whole continent and stuff, you know, starting in Chile.
All right, we have to wrap it up now.
Okay.
But Consuelo, it was a pleasure having you on the show. It was very wonderful hearing about your experiences and your company and everything that you're doing. It's just so amazing.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's always nice to talk about what you have done in your life, especially when you are, when the time is, the clock is ticking, and your resume or your balance, and you said, what is next?
I think it's time for you to direct this film. Talk about that experience that happened at the Santiago Airport.
Oh, yeah.
I spoke with a coworker that, because he's from China, and he taught in China as a screenwriter, so I told him, teach me. I want to write my own script, because I wrote two plays in my previous life here in Oregon.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That is another show.
Mm-hmm. Well,
thank you very much to both of you guys for this opportunity.
Of course. Thank you so much. And if you're just tuning in, or if you tuned in a little late for the show, this episode is going to be on Spotify this upcoming Sunday, so you can listen to it again there. Do you have any closing thoughts, Tyson?
No, just thank you so much, Consuelo, for coming in. I mean, you just gave us a whole plethora of knowledge with your company, experiences, life experiences.
Yeah.
And we always love talking to people that are very well traveled.
All right.
I agree. It's one way we learn, too.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Life Stamps, stories from here and there on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode. Until next time, happy traveling.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the